we see this victim blaming happening all the time. In fact, recently there was a mass molestation episode that happened in Bangalore on New Year's Eve. And we had the Home Minister come out and say, well, this is what happens when the young people are influenced by Western culture. We had someone come on record, a politician come on record and say, women are like sugar cubes. If it's a broken piece of sugar cube, sure enough, you'll attract ants. We still see this constant peddling of narrative that if a woman dressed better, if she covered herself up more, if she wasn't out on the streets, you can avoid being sexually abused. There's this obsession with wanting to know just what she did before the act of abuse that may have warranted her being abused. And, you know, so that extremely is a, it's a very bothersome narrative. And then people wonder why is underreporting a problem. Of course it's a problem. If a woman is at a temple, she feels afraid to speak up. Why would she feel, you know, the confidence to speak up at a music festival? Hence we reach out to festivals directly and ensure that, you know, we put out messaging out there that there's zero tolerance for any kind of misbehavior against women, and that should something happen, they will take cognizance of it.
What are the biggest challenges She Says faces?
So for us, our biggest battle is a couple of things. One is trying to fight culture and tradition that's so deeply rooted, where it's normalized. The kind of discrimination that women face, the kind of abuse that women face has been normalized over years. So trying to break that and say, you know what, it's not okay. This is pure discrimination on grounds of gender alone has been a huge battle for us. And also using the guise of religion to discriminate against women is something that's not okay. And that's something that we're facing a lot of opposition for. The second battle most definitely is trying to bring sexual education, a comprehensive sexual education in schools and colleges. Because we come back to consent and we come back to our minister saying that criminalization of marital rape cannot happen in India because women don't understand consent. And we need to have sex education in schools and colleges because it all starts with conversation. We need heightened bystander intervention. But all of that can come into play only if you educate young people on what is appropriate behavior, what is inappropriate behavior, how can they take action. Because I tell you, every single time I visit a school and college, every single time my team visits a school and college, at the end of our 45-minute session, we have on an average at least 5 young people come up to us and share stories of being sexually abused as children, and that is just not okay. So it is a pandemic that does not get reported.
Mm-hmm. What role did the youth have in confronting these challenges?
Every time we have adults come up to us and ask for help, should they be sexually abused, it's more often than not to say, look, this happened, I need retribution, I want justice, which is completely fair. But every time I have young people come up to me and want to report it, it comes from a different place. It comes from a place of saying, for so long I kept quiet because my parents or my family members or my friends told me to. But now I realize that the perpetrator is in contact with other kids and could be abusing other kids. So I want to speak up now, not just to correct a wrong that happened to me, but for the sake of other children. So I come back to young people having not been jaded, having an uncompromised moral compass, and they don't indulge in gray area that much. They can see right for wrong, they can see black and white, and they have an unapologetic voice. As adults, since I'm getting into that territory sooner than later, I have to be very conscious to make sure that I don't stifle the voices of young people, because they know, and you know, they face hunger more acutely than we do. They face discrimination. We call them vulnerable, and that is so true. They are disproportionately affected. They are marginalized. Their voices are not accounted for as much. So just giving them access on social media is not enough. Recognizing that we need to invest in capacity building of young people, because guess what? Every time you see revolution, every time you see street protests, it's young people leading the fight. It's them making sure that they fight on behalf of all of us, in spite of the disproportionate atrocities that they face. They still put on the suit of armor and lace up, as I say, and fight. And they do it because they have a personal stake in the game. So not involving young people to me seems like the most ridiculous conversation ever. Preaching at them instead of engaging them in conversation, bringing them into dialogue and investing in capacity building and skill building is what I think will address gender inequality and therein lead to equality.